So this morning I want to talk about serving in the body, and I was just talking earlier about how well this congregation serves, but it's good to remind ourselves that we are serving God and to remind ourselves what the Word says about serving, because we can get caught up in serving and we can serve for the wrong reasons, and it can sometimes become our identity almost as well. I mean, when Joy and I were younger, we were so involved with the kids' church. It was all about kids. So it was kids' church and camps and youth alpha and all that sort of stuff that you don't know the parents' names. You're like, oh, are you Johnny's dad, you know? You get so wrapped up with the kids, especially when we were in mainstream church, because then Sunday school runs for the whole time the church is on. So you're more with the kids than you are actually with the adults. And you've got to be careful that it doesn't become your identity and that you get wrapped up in it. And as I said earlier, that we always put a comma behind it as well. That you might serve in something for a season, and then God calls you to something else. So even for those of you that are serving so well and so hard, yeah, just to continually look to God and say, am I in the right place? Because maybe God wants to move you on to somewhere else and bring somebody else. So sometimes you can, you know, people look and they think, wow, this person, let's take Omkhet as an example. So he's leading worship. There's no gap for me. But if God calls him to something else, then somebody else can step in. And that's the same for all of our ministries. So, you know, it's seeking where God wants to use us. And a lot of us come out of more traditional churches, and as Howard Hendricks describes traditional churches or local churches, he once described it as a football game, 22 people on the field, badly in need of a rest, and 40,000 in the stands badly in need of exercise. And we see that a lot in churches. And we encourage everybody to get involved. But we see in a lot of churches where people have more of a consumer mentality and they expect the guys that are getting paid to do it must do the work. You know, you preach, you do this, and there's a faithful few that surround the pastor or the minister and help them serve. But instead of the whole body serving, as we see in the Word. And we must remember that God is the audience. You know, so I think I've mentioned this before. If you go and in Somerset West, when we first joined, we were meeting in the Playhouse, and it was a beautiful picture of a typical audience, because you sit in these fancy soft chairs. Trevor, you guys know it. You guys were also in that venue. And you sit in this little Playhouse theater in these soft seats with the aircon, and it looks like a normal show, let's say, where the people are on the stage are the presenters or the actors, let's say, and then you've got the audience out there, and then you have the prompt on the side that when you forget something, the prompt tells you what you need to say. I think it's called a voorseer in Afrikaans, the person on the side who whispers your lines to you. And that's the picture that we can sometimes have of church, which is just the wrong picture, where we have the actors up front and you are the audience, but it's wrong. It's the wrong picture. God is the audience. We are all the participants. We are all the actors or the presenters. Actors is maybe a negative word. But we are all here to worship God, and He's the audience. And the people up front here, the worship leader, whoever's got the mic, we're actually just the voorseer. We're just here to try and help prompt so that all of us can worship God as the audience. So we must never ask, what am I getting out of church? But what am I giving out of church? You know, so when we join a church, why are we joining a church? Are we joining because it's like a comfortable seats and the people were nice? Or sometimes people join a church because the coffee is good, you know? It's nice and comfortable, the coffee is good, and I can sit in the back corner and not get hassled. But we should have this mentality of what can we actually give out of church. This is not aimed at the visiting family, please. So let's start with 1 Corinthians 14:26 in the NIV. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. So Paul is saying to the Corinthians that everyone must come together, and all of these are important. That's why we encourage everybody to get involved, and you'll see I like doing that. I like getting different faces up front, getting people involved, And I said to the leadership team, sometimes it might get a little bit messy, but then I'm happy to come with a lappy and clean it up if I need to. But I'll rather do that than have like the same few up front all the time and we're not growing as a body and we're not stretching each other, because everybody has a word. Everybody has a song or an interpretation or something that they can bring. And we've got to remember that. So when we come to church, are we ready to share? And you know that picture of when you get invited to a big meal and then the women always have a whole argument over WhatsApp. No, let me bring something. No, you brought last time. I'm doing the pudding. No, I want to bring the pudding. And there's this whole tussle between the women as to who's bringing what, because everybody wants to bring. Nobody wants to arrive empty-handed. And I'm sure a lot of you are like that here as well. Even if somebody invites you to dinner, let me bring something. Let me at least bring a cool drink or a pudding or something, because you want to go there prepared and you want to contribute. And are we like that when we come to church? Are we ready to come and give out to church? Or are we just coming here just to tick a box or just to consume church? Or are we here to participate and to bring what God's laid on our heart? Because each one of us is different. And each one of us has a different message that God's speaking to us. Just at the prayer meeting this morning, just some of the things that were shared. And Wemchet and Tani Annelien were away this week in Lesotho. And they're just the wondrous things that they saw there and how that impacts them. And they bring that back. And they will probably share some of that with their community as well. And each of us. And Gideon, I know you were at a school of 1,300 girls on Monday, I think, if I remember correctly, doing team Spunbow and Teambow. And we all have these different experiences. So I've never had that sort of experience. I can learn and get experiences from what he's been through. And Renier is interacting with lots of different clients on a daily basis as well. So we all have different backgrounds, different experiences, and God speaks to us differently through his word. And that's why we come together as a body and we each bring a different word, a different song. All of us can read the same scripture and it speaks to us differently. And it's so important that we bring that together to function as a body, that it's not just one part of the body trying to function. Interesting, the human body has got 206 bones, 78 organs, that's a much bigger number than I thought, 78 organs, and 640 muscles. Maybe at my age you've got a few less than 640, I don't know. Or 640 that work. And then if you look at the number of cells, then it's like over a trillion cells that the body's got. And all these muscles and bones and tendons and organs all work together to function as a body. And that's why Paul uses the picture of the body in the Bible. Because unless you've got all those parts of the body, you don't function. And you've seen, I mean, if anyone's had operation on your foot or anything like that, Charmaine, you had a sore foot recently, it just hinders you so much. Even if it's just a toe or something, it hinders you from walking and running, etc. And we need every part of the body to function. And then this, a reminder, then we don't do it for the leaders. You don't serve for the leaders or for Josh Jen or for 412 or for your comm leader. You serve, everything we do for God. And that's what we must remember is we seek God. God, what do you want me to do? What is my contribution to the church? Is it to be involved with the kids' church, to be involved with worship? What is it? And we do that for God and we do it excellently for God. Because remember, leaders will come and go. So I said, we're seeking God for, does he want us here? And he wants us here now for the next season, but we're not going to be here forever. So we don't do it. We serve each other in Jesus' name, but we don't do it for each other. We do it for God. Leaders will come and go. Leaders will disappoint as well. Now, I'll probably upset some of you along the way or disappoint some of you along the way. And that's why we don't look to each other. We look to God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4 to 8. When one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, and another says, I prefer Apollos, aren't you acting like those who are not Christians? Who is Apollos and who is Paul that we should be the cause of such quarrels? Why, we're only servants. Through us, God caused you to believe. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. My job was to plant the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God, not we, who made it grow. So there was this, the people started favoring certain leaders. Some were favoring Apollos, some were favoring Paul, and then Paul rebukes them. says you're getting it wrong here. You're looking to your leaders. You've got to look to God and realize that the leaders are actually all working together. And sometimes he will plant and Apollos will water, or vice versa. And Willem planted many seeds over the years. And now we're coming and we're watering, and we might get to harvest something that Willem planted 5 years ago, along with many of you that planted with Willem and Leonie. And that's how we function in the kingdom. And what we planted in Edgemead over 10 years ago, somebody else is harvesting now. And that's how we function together as a team. And it's never to look to the individuals, but it's always to look to God and realize that God is using us. And God will move us around. So Ross and Margot, that were overseeing our hub at one point, they've moved around a lot, probably almost as much as Mike and Chantel. If I can think now, they were originally in George, then they were part of like Sunningdale Milk Post, then they were Hermanus, then they went to Seychelles for a bit, now they're in Edgemead 11. And then there was a prophetic couple that came and spoke over the eldership team, and they said they feel moving for this couple. But they were actually just confirming their last move, fortunately, because I think their eyes went this big. But God moves us around, and God uses us in different contexts. And that's why we must always be ready to be used in different contexts. Ephesians 6, verse 7 to 8. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. So I quoted that earlier, that we serve as if we're serving for the Lord. So everything that we do here, but never make it a heavy. And that also came up this morning, is, you know, sometimes we can make the serving heavier than it is. And we've got to be serving joyfully. We've got to be served joyfully and know that we've got a team around us. And if one of us stand up here and make a fault, it's actually okay, because we're all family here together. And we will support each other through this, but it helps us grow. And each of us will learn as we go. And sometimes we've got to step out boldly. It's not always comfortable standing up here or leading worship or even being with the kids. I think it's more intimidating being with the grade ones than standing up here. And but if God's called us to that, step out, to pull someone along and say, I haven't done this before. Come and help me. Come and guide me what I do here, so that you can actually step into what God's got for you. So what does success look like in the church? Okay, so we mustn't have this mindset of, because we carry this sort of work mindset with us as well. Like most of us have got jobs, and some of us are in corporate, some of you are self-employed, or maybe you're a teacher or a doctor's assistant, whatever it might be, and we have this work mindset, you know. We try and take the success of work and we try and put that onto church and say, what does success look like? Do we have to climb the corporate ladder? Do we need to be better than the guy next to us? You know, so we've got to make sure we don't just copy-paste what we're seeing from the work environment. Like my role. So if I'm leading this congregation for this season, what is my role? What do you think? What do you want me? What should be my number one function? Preaching and shepherding. So my number one role should be what you would want for me is that I'm close to God. That's where I must, and then my second thing is to point you guys to God. So I mustn't be an eloquent speaker or try and preach and worship and run youth and everything. I must make sure I'm close to God, and I must make sure I'm pointing you guys to God, as opposed to the corporate world where the boss is like, in a work context, the person leading is like the overachiever and working late nights to make sure everything gets done. I always say you want to grow the people beyond who you are. And that's what I try and do in the work context, is I try and get young people and mentor them and grow them to beyond what I've achieved. And that's what we want in the church. We want everybody growing. We want everybody achieving what God's got for them. Ephesians 4, verse 1. This is Paul to the Ephesians. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So he's saying there to the Ephesians, all of them have got a calling. So it's not just, okay, this guy's called to be full-time minister, so let him get on with it, and we'll come and be part of the church. All of us have a calling, like the Ephesians there that he's speaking to. Each of us, and it's different degrees of calling, and it's different roles that we've got. But God has got something on each one of us that he's laid on us. Each one of us need to make sure we're playing our part in the body. Because again, if we're not playing our part, then the body suffers. But on the inverse of that, the stronger we play our role, the more the body can function. So the more we get involved, the more we free people up or strengthen other people, which makes the body stronger. To achieve what? Not so that we can be comfortable, so that we can go out and witness, so we can go out and make disciples, Matthew 28. Go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Spirit, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we want to achieve. We don't want to be a passive church that's comfortable here. Someone's making the coffee, someone's preaching, we got worship, the kids are sorted. Right, now we sit. Now we need to be out there, we need to be doing more. And the more we can assist each other, the more we can get on the road. If some of you are called to evangelism, you know who you are. We're all called to evangelize, but some of you have got a specific calling of evangelism. And are we freeing them up enough to go out and lead us into evangelism? James 2, verse 14 to 18. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. So we actually, by what we do, that's how we demonstrate our faith. So how are we loving our neighbors? How are we impacting our colleagues? What are we doing when we interact with a cashier or a petrol attendant, whoever it might be? By our deeds, are they able to see our faith? Or is it only by what we say? Are we living out our faith? You know, you want your people at work to say, I knew you were a Christian. I could see it just by the way you act. Isn't that what you want? That we must really be living out our faith. And that is the way we serve each other as well. Ephesians chapter 4, which is where we get 4:12 from. Ephesians 4 verse 12. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. So there we got the fivefold ministry. So that's also important within the church context to make sure that we're covering the fivefold ministry. And we maybe don't cover it here in Josh Jen Crabeau, but we cover it in the bigger Josh Jen. Remember, we call ourselves one church meeting across the city. So we have all of those fivefold ministry gifts across Josh Jen. That's why we will get people in. We'll sometimes get apostolic in. We'll get prophetic in to come and strengthen us where we may be not as strong as Josh Jen Crabeau. But ideally, we want to be growing ourselves here in this bigger area, the bigger Elgin Valley. We're going to be growing ourselves in that fivefold ministry as well. Then Ephesians 4 verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So the whole body of Christ. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So again, from him the whole body, and as each part does its work. So by all of us working together, that's when we function as a healthy church. So we covered fivefold, all reaching unity. And it's unity, not uniformity. So we mustn't mix those two up. Uniformity is like cookie cutter, like we must all look exactly the same. We don't want uniformity. We want unity. But bringing together all the different parts So all the different backgrounds and experiences that we've had, we bring that together in unity, and that gives us strength, but not uniformity where we all look and sound exactly the same. And then all maturing to Christ. And then I think a scripture I used last week as well, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, that we continually encouraging each other in this as well. So we need encouragement. You know, each of us faces different pressures, whether it be family environment or finances or work pressures or whatever it might be, that come and the world throws things at us to try and knock us off so that we're not serving, so that we're not unified as a church. That's why we need to be encouraging each other in these things. And we've got wonderful tools nowadays. It's wonderful to encourage face-to-face, but it's not always practical. We have wonderful tools called cell phones and WhatsApp and, you know, encourage each other. And that's not just forwarding on a little picture that someone sent to you, but something personal. Hey, I saw this and I thought of you, and this is why I think it's for you. So are we getting personal? It's so easy nowadays to just forward to all, or I'll put it on my status. I'm sure Sujane will see it on my status. No, if I think it's for Sujane, then I send it to her. Let's encourage each other. Let's lift each other up, because the world will continue throwing things at us. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Each one of us should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So maybe I'm repeating myself, but again, it's what God's given us. We need to faithfully use that. So forget about people around you. Remember, it's between you and God. God's given you a specific gift. God's given you a skill. He's given you an opportunity to serve. It's up to us to make sure we're using that to glorify his name. So we are serving each other through this, but ultimately we're serving God. And something simple like packing out chairs. Packing out chairs is actually serving the other people in the church. It's serving the visitors so they don't have to pack our chairs when they come. It's freeing up Wimchet so that he can focus on what he has to do here with the worship, so he doesn't have to pack out his own chair. So even the little things are serving. So you might say, well, are non-members allowed to serve? So some of you are going to join orientation from Wednesday and perhaps look to coming on to membership. Are we allowed to serve? Of course. I mean, we're all part of the body, and we all are called to serve. So until we get to, if you're a visitor, and until we get to know your character, we're not going to let you necessarily lead worship or preach or lead the children, but you can be a helper with the children. You can be a helper on sound, etc. There's lots of opportunities to serve as we get to know people, and then we know, once we know people's doctrine, we know their heart, then we will entrust them with more. But there's, from day one, there's an opportunity to serve, and most of you do, as you know. So I love talking about the Springboks, as I think you know. And I think one of the first, Trevor's got a smile on his face already, but one of the first weeks that I came to Crabone, I said, how many of you watch sport? And I didn't get a massive reaction, so I'll have to color it in as I go. I know Trevor will follow me and definitely my friend there. But I think all of you know that the Springboks have been really successful in the last 6 or 7 years. And I just want to give some of the points that's made them successful as a team, because stuff that we learn in corporate, so corporate's got a, like work in corporate can often be negative, and Ineri's nodding her head, she works for one of the major banks. But there's good lessons that we sometimes learn from corporate or from business that we can bring in terms of leadership and team dynamics, etc. But there's also from sport, there's wonderful lessons that you can learn. And just a few that has been the result of the success of the Springboks is firstly their squad depth. They've got such a massive squad that they can field 2, maybe 3 teams that could be competitive against most of the other teams, because they keep adding and they keep training with the A team, let's call it, and they're building this incredible squad depth by taking risks on people. And that's what I like doing. I like saying, right, Gideon, come bit, and Trevor, come lay, and whatever it might be, so that we build squad depth, because it gives us incredible strength. And we might see a new face on worship next week as well. But as we take, you know, as we give, not take chances, as we give opportunities to people to stretch people. Role clarity as well. So something that they do well in the Springbok squad is role clarity. They know exactly when they go to a World Cup. They know beforehand, I'm going to play this game, I'm going to play that game, I'm going to play this position for this game and that position for that game, so that there's not this internal like competition and politics within the squad that you see in business. So in business, you're always like trying to do better than the oak next to you so that you can get the promotion, etc. But what we want here is role clarity, so that everybody knows, right, this is what you're doing, this is what you're doing, so that we complement each other and we encourage each other in that role, and we're not actually competing against each other. And they've got role confidence, so role clarity and role confidence, that I'm going to give you the mic, but if you mess it up, I'm not going to grab the mic from you halfway through the church meeting and make you look silly. Be confident, you've got the mic for the next 10 minutes and I'm going to let you do it. And if you fail, then we clean it up later. So confidence in the role. That's also what we want to make sure that we give you. Versatility. So again, in the Springbok squad, versatility could be somebody that's playing in the back line now suddenly playing in the forwards, which if you don't understand rugby, the forwards are normally the tall, fat, large guys. I used to play 1, 2, and 3, so that's where I fit in. And then your back line is your better-looking guys, the ones that run fast, the ones that can pass well, kick well, etc. But sometimes within the Springbok team, they've been moving guys between back line and forwards. And sometimes you might, in the moment, so there's the versatility of playing out of position, let's call it, but there could also be in the moment. Like in the moment, if suddenly Umkhat doesn't feel well and he has to leave, Can somebody else suddenly jump into his position? Maybe somebody that doesn't normally play that position. You know, so we've got that versatility. Or suddenly I have to go out and somebody else will stand here, or you'll pray for somebody and you're not used to doing that. But having that versatility to be able to play out of position, let's call it, and fill a gap. So that's been very good for the Springboks. The fact that no role is more important than the other role. So even though the number 10 is the good-looking guy like Sasha that can kick for poles and do amazing stuff, his role is no more important than the other role. And the guys on the bench are as important as the guys on the field. So that's the same here as well. The person packing our chairs, as important as the person leading worship. The person welcoming the visitors, maybe more important than what we're doing. Sometimes you've got people maybe... again, not aimed at our visitors, but you can have some people, they've been hurt by church, and they say, okay, let's just give it one last chance. Let's go visit this church, we've heard a bit about them, let's give church one more chance. And then they come and nobody greets them. Then they're like, okay, Lord, we gave it a chance. Or if there's a God, we gave it a chance. You know, visitors are so important for us as well. So no one role is more important than the other. We saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as well. I don't know why I wrote this here. Oh, yes. So, as we saw in the church, that they, in Ephesians 4, it talks about them growing together in unity. So, the more the Springboks spend time with each other, they grow within the team dynamic, but they also grow as individuals. They get fitter and stronger as individuals. And that's what we see within a healthy, strong church environment as well. In a healthy church family, we see unity growing, but we see individuals growing. And we're like, wow, have you seen how this person has grown? Have you seen what's in them? And we can use them for this. And it's just incredible to see how they've had breakthrough in this area. And you see people having... amazing breakthrough from addictions or whatever it might be, but amazing spiritual growth and where they're able to come through stuff and serve, etc. So we see unity, but we see personal growth as well. And then lastly, the stronger the team gets, the stronger the Springboks get, the more the other teams try and compete against them. So the other teams, you'll see, are not only trying to stop what they do, but they're copying what they do. And we see the devil has that tactics as well. So the more we strengthening the team here, the more we strengthening our church family and growing, the more the devil comes at us. And he tries to break down. And he tries to break down marriage. And he tries to break down family. And he tries to bring disunity here. And he causes causes a fence maybe between people within the church. And that's how the devil tries to undermine what we're doing. And then he tries to copy, because remember, the devil masquerades as an angel of light. So he acts in 90% truth, and he will bring a bit of false doctrine, or he'll bring something to try and break it down, but it looks positive, but he starts copying what we're doing and trying to break us down. So I hope those are some useful points, just to point out how we can be successful as well, and how we can learn from business and from sport. Just to close, a few quotes from some of the big men in Christianity. Charles Spurgeon: "I believe that many professing Christians are cold and uncomfortable because they are doing nothing for the Lord. But if they actually served him, their blood would begin to circulate spiritually and it would be well with them." Charles Spurgeon also says, "No man ever served God by doing things tomorrow." So that one I think we must take to heart. No one ever served God by doing things tomorrow. So if God says, pray for this person, then pray for them now. Don't say, well, thank you, Lord, I'll do it tomorrow. Or send an encouraging word to this person. That's probably meant for now. Maybe they need it right now and not in 2 days' time. Billy Graham says, the highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. A.W. Tozer says, how utterly terrible is the current idea that Christians can serve God at their own convenience. And it's not always going to be comfortable when God asks us to do stuff. It's not always going to fit into our schedule. And sometimes it's going to be on a Sunday afternoon when you actually want to be under the duvet watching a movie. It's going to be a Friday night when you have to take your kids to youth and you've had a long week and you actually just want to chill. But actually it's nice when you get to that age when your kids go to youth and you actually got some family time, eh? Or some couple's time, should I say. But it's not always going to be convenient when God calls us to serve. So we need to be serving God in the moment wherever we are. Maybe if we're not moving forwards, we're actually moving backwards, because the devil is continually attacking. And we spoke about that last week, that there's this wave of false doctrine coming. Islam is coming. There's a whole lot of AI is coming. There's all these things coming against us to try and separate us from God and try and bring disunity. And we've got to be advancing, otherwise we're going to be moving backwards. But then some of you might say, well, what does it help now if I start serving on sound? How's that going to impact the nations? So as I said, every little bit we do, every little opportunity we do opens up an opportunity for somebody else. So if you're serving on sound, then Philip could be chatting to visitors or praying with Gideon or whatever might be needed, or leading worship. So we make space by the little impacts. St. Francis of de Sales said, great occasions for serving God come seldom, but little ones surround us daily. So we're not always going to have this fantastic opportunity to serve, but there's lots of little opportunities to serve. I've stuck my hand into more church toilets than I've spoken at gatherings. The little things, as opposed to what's seen as the big things. Yeah. I don't do it for kicks. I do it. And it's always a ladies' toilet, by the way. But it's the little opportunities to serve rather than the big opportunities to serve. Okay, so practically, a lot of you are serving, but if there's anybody here that is looking to get involved, looking to serve somewhere, if you want to get involved with worship, you can speak to Wim Gert. If you want to get involved on the sound team, you can speak to Philip in the back corner there. And when I joined Somerset West, I knew nothing about sound, but I just said, Can I help you? Can I get on the team? And then I started helping, and Jaco came up to me and he said, "Kan ek vir jou wys hoe om 'n draad op te rol?" Then I realized I wasn't doing it right, but you quickly learn. And that the team are very, very good and very gracious. So there's sound, there's AV. You can speak to Carla. Is Carla here today? Otherwise, you can speak to Annette there in Carla's absence. Or if you want to get involved with Kids Church. And I want to encourage the men. I spoke earlier about us being involved with kids' church when we were younger. We need men in kids' church. Otherwise, the kids grow up thinking that only the ladies are going to minister to them. And maybe it's not important enough for the men to come. So we need to make sure we've got men in kids' church, even if it's just helping. So I just want to encourage for kids' church as well, and then for youth. So excited that we started a youth about 6 weeks ago. Longer. A while back. So Lyndon and Simone are running a Friday night youth, and the youth is growing quickly as well. So we're drawing in children from the neighborhood, which is fantastic. So there's an opportunity there to support them, because as the crowd gets bigger, they need assistance managing the bigger group. There's often counseling needed with teenagers, etc. So youth, did I miss anything? Worship, AV, sound, youth, kids, and admin as well. So there's certain amount of admin that gets done. If admin is your strength, there's opportunities to serve within admin as well. And remember, God never puts a comma, so those that are serving, seek God about it. Doesn't mean that you're in worship forever. Doesn't mean that you're in AV forever. Doesn't mean you're in sound forever. AV forever. God uses us differently over different seasons. So continually seek the God. Continually seek God. Where do you want me? Let's close our eyes. Oh Lord, we thank you that you continually working on us, Lord, that you're never content for us to sit back and be comfortable and just get into a rut, Lord. We always want to be moving. We always want to be growing, Lord. And you're always prompting us and pushing us forward, Lord, and getting us to step out in faith. And we just love that about you, Lord, that you are growing your church and that you're using us. And we're so humbled to be part of that we can serve together and be in the trenches together and strengthen ourselves so that when we go out on the road and we go to Roy Dacca or wherever we go to be able to evangelize, that we are the stronger for it, that we are unified as a team, that we've strong in the word, that we've got our armor on and we're ready to go into battle for you, Lord. So thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the scriptures that we've looked at this morning, where you just encourage us to be part of the body, that we're serving you, that we've got to be excellent in what we do. And we just pray that you continually guide us in this, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I think a good response for this is for us to have communion this morning, and all are welcome at the table, including the children. So if you can form two rows, one from that side, one from this side, collect the elements, and then go back to your chair, and then we'll take the elements together. So let's not rush this moment. Let's just take a moment or two in prayer. Just seek God. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you this morning. Let's, in response to this word, give the Holy Spirit a chance to minister to our hearts. Perhaps there's something that God wants to say to you this morning about where you're serving in the church. God may even lay something in your heart that I haven't mentioned this morning. Maybe there's a ministry like hospital visitations that we're not actively doing as a church at the moment. Maybe there's something else that God is laying on your heart. Maybe you're going to be a pioneer. And Lord, we pray for that this morning as well, Lord. If there's something new for us as a congregation that we're not fulfilling at the moment, Lord, whether it be more in the prophetic, whether it be more into healings, into visiting hospitals, more into outreach and evangelism, Lord. If there's something there that you've wanted to speak to us as a church, Lord, we open ourselves up this morning, Lord. We pray that you speak through us, Lord. And just prompt us in the areas, Lord, where we need to grow, not just as individuals, but as a congregation, Lord. In Matthew 26, at the Last Supper, as from verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." Lord Jesus, we take and eat this piece of wafer this morning, and we remember that your body was broken for us, and we are grateful. And he, Jesus, took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed, that we just celebrated this Easter, Lord, and your blood that was poured out for us and for all of us, Lord, and we take and drink in remembrance of that, and we are thankful. Thank you, Lord, and we pray that even in this coming week, Lord, that you'll continue to minister to us. Let us not grow comfortable, but let us also never grow weary, Lord. I think some here have served hard, and we never want to grow weary of doing well for you as well and doing good for you, Lord. So strengthen those that need strengthening, encourage those that need encouraging, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you all. Please don't hang around. Don't disappear. At least I got a laugh. Don't disappear. Please hang around and have some tea and coffee with us. Remember, we do have to pack up today because school is on again tomorrow. So we do have to pack up. But first, have a coffee and a tea. Remember to collect your children as well. Thank you.